We're happy to make podcasts available for selected EdWebinars for your listening pleasure. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording and take the corresponding CE quiz. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.
All right, so here we are on a Thursday afternoon, or if you're in New Zealand, it's 9 o'clock a.m. far off into the future tomorrow. So if anything has happened, you know, in the future that we need to know about, please drop it in the chat. So thanks everybody for coming to hang out with us. I'm Stephen Anderson. I'm at Web20 Classroom on Twitter, and I'm joined today for what's going to be another exciting and fun and really engaging conversation on school culture with two really, really incredible educators that you all are really going to come to know and love, Aaron Olson and Derek McCoy. So I'm Stephen Anderson. We won't spend a whole lot of time on me. I've done some pretty cool things in education. I was a teacher, director of technology. I've written some books, wrote Tech Savvy Administrator, the Relevant Educator Content Curation, working on a book right now, a framework for looking at technology in the classroom. I created the hashtag EdChat along with my partner, Tom Whitby. And again, you can follow me on Twitter. What's more important are the people who are here with us today. Let's start with Aaron. So Aaron is a curriculum director from Sioux Central Community School in Iowa. So if you don't know where Iowa is, it's in the middle of the United States. It's a very, very beautiful place that has lots and lots of wonderful people, Aaron being one of them, way up in the northwest corner of Iowa. She is very, very passionate about literacy and technology to help support student voice. She has been a technology integration specialist, a middle school language arts teacher, a high school English teacher. She is a connected educator. She has been featured in the New York Times, which is awesome, and as well as been on CNN News. So she's presented nationally at conferences. She is just an all-around awesome person. I think you're getting ready to do the Iowa One-to-One conference too, aren't you?
Yes, next week.
That one's coming up too. So you can follow Erin on Twitter. You got her Twitter handle there as well. Say hi to everybody, Erin.
Hello, everybody.
There you go. And then we got Derek. So Derek's actually just down the road from me in North Carolina. Derek, what makes Derek awesome is he's a Carolina basketball fan like me. So he gets instant awesomeness approval from me. Derek's a principal at a middle school, at West Rowan Middle School, Rowan Salisbury, which is an incredibly awesome district doing really, really cool things. He presents regularly and conducts workshops on improving student achievement, student learning, increasing teacher efficacy. If there's a leader or principal that you need to know, it's Derek, because Derek's doing some pretty incredible things at his school. If you didn't know, was named the 2014 Digital Principal of the Year by NASSP, which in itself is pretty awesome, considering all the awesome things that all principals are doing. Derek was named the most awesome, so it's an honor to call him a friend. And so you've got Derek's Twitter there as well. So say hi, Derek.
What's up, people? Let's talk culture.
Now, Derek got the memo that it's bow tie Thursday today. So we got the memo today that we were going to wear those. So today we're going to talk about school culture, and what you're not going to hear is me talking a lot, because they have some really incredible stories to share and some awesome things to talk about. But what we want to start out with is some questions from you, or some answers from you all. So drop in the chat. I do Peggy celebrate bow tie day every day. How does your school culture impact the effectiveness of your teaching and learning? So from your position where you sit, you know, whether you're a teacher or whether you do something in instruction and leadership, how does school culture impact what teaching and learning happens in schools every day? Now, we're going to circle back to this question as a group. But I just want to hear what really quickly in the chat, what folks have to say. About that. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Maybe I should have done like a B or C, like the EdWebs told me to. Instead, I went open ended. I went rogue and went open ended. Adds to the activities we can do, cooking foods from other countries. Apathy is contagious. I completely agree with that. Now look at Peggy. Peggy's trying to jump ahead because the next question is defining school culture. Culture affects teacher motivation, creates a safe learning environment. Culture does affect teacher motivation as well as collaboration, impacts student learning. Students work harder. Huge. If students are the fish, the school is the sea. If the sea is not at the right temperature, mm-hmm. the fish will die. I love that analogy. I think that's spot on. Very, very spot on. So I think Peggy is right. I think we should perhaps define school culture and what it means to us in our positions, because each of you is doing something a little bit different. And I think that both of you, and that's why I asked both of you to be here, is because you offer a very unique perspective from where you sit on what school culture is. So I want to start with Aaron and hear a little bit about what do you think school culture really means, and frame it in the context of what you do every day. And maybe it might be helpful to talk just briefly about what you do every day.
Okay. I'm an instructional leader, and so I help support teachers through instructional coaching. I also help support our other instructional coaches as well as team leads. So I have an interesting access to educators, which that could mean I'm team teaching, co-planning, or maybe I'm teaching in the classroom, modeling something, or perhaps I'm in the room so that teacher can go outside of the room and learn from another. So I wear a lot of hats, but that's basically the gist of what I do. And so when I think about my position and I think about school culture, I think of it as a story. The story of our culture began before I arrived. The school culture has been building, and we have like over 7 towns that feed into our school. And so it comes, you know, the place people that come into our school bring with them their set of beliefs. And then we think about teachers within our school have a set of beliefs. But I think of it as a story, and we add to that story. It's who we are. It's how we do as well. And so it is the heartbeat, the soul. And that's how I view school culture. And I know climate and culture get interchanged all the time. And I even tried to make more sense of that as I was thinking about our conversation today. But I think it's really how we operate. It's how we operate.
Yeah, I mean, I love what you said, that it's our heart and soul. And I totally agree. I think it goes back to that point that Alan made, that the students and the teachers are the fish and the sea is the school. And if something's not right, then everything's not right. And you're exactly right. And then more to your point about, you know, everybody, and you're in a really unique position too, where you've got all these different towns and communities that feed into mm-hmm. this one school, and each of them has their own individual identity, and each of those locations has their own individual identity. And now we're coming together in this one place to kind of form this unified identity and this unified vision. Mm-hmm. And it can be, you know, if not done correctly, it can be a really, really, it can be hard, very, very difficult, or it could be, you know, it could turn out to be a really good. And I think we're going to touch on more of that later. Derek, talk to me a little bit about school culture, what that means to you and your position.
Okay. So this is my 22nd year in education, and the third school that I've been a principal at. First school had a short time there, but I've worked. I've been a school leader for a couple of years, and you know, seeing school, and I mean seeing school in different. Through different lenses, different kinds of schools, it really opens your eyes and kind of, I mean, it makes you prioritize what is and isn't. So, you know, we have the textbook definition about school culture. You know, it's just the norms, the things we believe in, the beliefs that we hold dear and hold dear and treasure deeply, and we know that piece, and we know that piece to it. And Aaron, you know, so kudos to you on always bringing in culture and climate, because, you know, those two can be interchangeable. I had a supervisor who once said that you could change the culture. I mean, you could change the climate of a school in one day with good donuts and good coffee. But you can change the culture of a school with good donuts, good coffee, and good conversation every Monday. Mm-hmm. Okay, so And you can see how that affects, how that builds. To me, I think the culture of a school is what's going to happen when this person or this group isn't there. What, not just the norms that we believe in, but really what's the diehard stuff that is going to happen when that person isn't there. Earlier, and I think this was Sarah, and guys, I love reading the post, so keep them coming. I think it was Sarah that says it's really set by the administrator. I think the school culture, the principal, no doubt, is the most influential person in the building, without a doubt. Teachers are the most powerful, though. Let's be real about that. If I didn't come to work for a week, the teachers would drive great stuff.
Would anybody notice?
But you know what? That's real.
Right. Yep.
That's right. That's real. They could either drive great stuff or they wouldn't drive great stuff. Mm-hmm. What culture do you have? A culture of achievement, a culture of student-centered learning, a culture of what cultures do you have built up? And so I think when we try to put culture in one bag, we kind of miss out on some of the opportunities to really grow different things. Because here at West, we're developing a student-centered culture. But, you know, Stephen, you know, we're one-to-one. So mm-hmm. there's also a culture of innovation piece that we're fostering as well. So I think it's important to keep all those things in mind, that culture is a spider web, lots of bubbles mm-hmm. that come off to the side. And it's constant watering, constant growing in a lot of different areas, a lot of different ways, with a lot of meaningful conversations and building relationships every day, relentlessly, awesomely.
So I totally agree with you that it's all these different buckets that are kind of interconnected to each other, and they kind of have to be in sync with each other, and they play off of each other, and it's not just one singular thing. It's not just one thing you can point to. It's not just one thing that can be called out. It's this totality of all of them. So we've already touched on this a little bit, but this is where you get to really tell a story, because I think the stories that you all have are truly what folks want to hear. And so Derek, you know, so you and you just talked about this, about your role as that person in the building. I mean, not only are you the principal, but the instructional leader, or the driver of all this, that your staff is looking at you to do this in a positive way. So what are some actionable things that you're doing to help promote that school, you know, that positive school culture in your building?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. And Stephen, you know, you hit it. I have to model, and people have to see me do it so that they can truly know that I place value in it and that it's not empty words. When I first got here, and I've been here about a little bit more than a year and a half. When I first got here, I wrote a blog post called it's not a selfie stick, it's a culture builder. And it was about our open house, and I just had my selfie stick out, and it was just smiles, hugs, taking a bunch of pictures, posting them up, letting people see it. I want people to see that there is joy in this school building. There is joy in what we do. There's hard work and there's sweat every day, but there is joy in the work that we engage in. So that began a lot of conversations here in the school building. We have designed some core values here in the school building. We're West Rand Middle Bulldogs. What do we want Bulldogs to look like? Students and teachers. We want to be collaborators. We want them to be great communicators. We want to act with integrity and purpose. Not if you do this, this is going to happen to you. We're not trying to create a culture mm-hmm. of fear. We're trying to create a culture that people want to engage in, want to be a part of. We have understandings, kind of group norms where when we're meeting, we're valuing all the room, all the conversations, all the voices in the room. this is how we build up communication and build up collaboration amongst us. We have to, it's even small things like not putting up any signs or posters that are stated in the negative. You know, let's take that time to rephrase it to show what we want and not what we don't want you to do. These are just incremental, deliberate, and just ongoing steps, and it's work because, and I know we're going to get into this later, but this is that mindset piece that we so much fall into. It's easy to go one way or the other, so they have to see me be that head cheerleader, and I do today. I play some loud music, challenged a girl to a game of cards. Beat her. It was ridiculous because, you know, 40-something-year-old man just celebrating beating this 12-year-old girl in the cards. But that's the atmosphere that we want to create here. Is we want people to be a part of this, and we want them to. That's how we're going to get the best ideas. That's how we're going to get our innovation up. Is if people just openly contribute.
Yeah, it's a community, right? So it's this
right.
100%. It's this notion that we all belong and we're all a part of this, and then we all feed and build off of each other. And so, you know, that's why I think that your perspective is unique, being that principal and doing what you're doing. Aaron, you're in a little bit of a different position. You're in that instructional mm-hmm. position, working with teachers. What are some things that you're doing to help promote school culture in your role and what you do with teachers?
You know, it's interesting as I think about the power that teachers have, and sad, I don't think that teachers always realize their own power or how much they have to offer, how much they have to give, and even still might be afraid what they do have to offer, might be fearful of sharing that gift. And that, I realized that early on in my work. So right away at the beginning of the year, when I met with team leads who would be working with groups of teachers, I asked them to write down three things that they had to give and three things that they needed to get. So give as in, like, I have this skill, this passion, this talent, this understanding. I want to offer it up to the group. Get, I need this learning. And, you know, it was really easy for people to identify what they needed in terms of learning. It was near impossible for them to identify what they had to give. Ooh. And that broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It broke my heart. And I don't know if we're a humble people, if that's why that we think if we acknowledge that, you know, I can really help you with working in more student voice and choice, or I got literacy, I would love to offer that to you. Or, you know, I wonder if it's because we are fearful that giving that seems, you know, a bit haughty. I'm not sure, but it hurt my heart. And I shared that. I was very open. And I just said, I wish you could see what I see in all of you. And just as you said, Derek, value, like, I value what contributions the teachers could, you know, could give. And so I was sitting with team leads and, you know, after they thought through it, you know, then they identified and they did that same exercise with the teachers that they serve and had that conversation, but we didn't leave it at that. So this is how I'm talking about how my role has helped in a different way address that we have, what we can offer each other is great, and we should celebrate those gifts and be open with one another about how we can help one another. And so we've been working this semester on the action of that give get, going out to other rooms and getting ideas for, you know, for what you see in another room, what you can learn, and then having your room open that people can come in and snag an idea from you, and really lifting the good and realizing that sharing is caring. Sorry if that sounds a bit cliche, but truly that we, within our own system, and of course we have our PLN, but our own system, we have a lot to give one another and to get from one another and to show that value. And I do that too. And I'm open about what I'm learning as well. So I would say that it's helped in that system standpoint to promote the culture of sharing and collaboration. You know, I'm also in a point where I can share that out to my professional learning network or to, you know, be a matchmaker, so to speak. But sometimes and oftentimes, as we think about wanting a culture of achievement or a culture of reflection, people just need someone to sit with them. And I can be that person who does that. And you know, I know you spoke on too, Derek, about a culture of learning and making. And I'm a servant leader. I will do whatever that means, whether that is, you know, covering a study hall so a person down the hallway can go watch a math lesson, or if that means I'm teaching guiding reading in kindergarten, which I did yesterday. And I have to say, those kindergartners, if you don't do something quite right, which I didn't, they let me know. So it's all good. But I really think that I'm in a position where I can help people feel and see that they have a contribution. And that is empowering.
You're exactly right. That three things to get and three things to give is awesome. Like, that's my takeaway today, because now I'm totally stealing that and doing that in the next workshop that I do, because we've all talked about, you know, becoming connected and the necessity to be connected. And one of the hangups that a lot of teachers have is, I don't have anything to give. Why would I join? Why would I write a blog? Why would I do any? Why would I join Twitter? Why would I do that? I don't have anything to give. And I almost predicted it before you said it, that I bet a lot of people they can easily do the three things that they need, but can't come up with the three things that they can give. Because as teachers, for so long in our profession, we've hoarded everything. We've hoarded our knowledge. Mm-hmm. We needed to be better than the teacher next door. You know, I tell a story all the time about a teacher in my school who retired, and it was like a stampede down to her room to get everything out of her room that she had hoarded her whole career. You know, it's this whole notion that everybody has something to give back, and what that does is now everybody becomes, not only does everybody become a learner because everybody has something to get, but now I am also going to become an educator too, a teacher too, because now I have something to give. I have some kind of talent that's beneficial. That shows everybody that we're all in this together. We can all learn from each other, no matter what we do. I love that activity. It's so powerful. You know, so we've talked about teachers, and we'll touch on students later. But what about parents? So, you know, if you're watching this as a recording, one of the quiz questions has to do with parents and how parents help or hinder school culture. Hint, hint, just saying. But how do parents serve to improve or tear down school culture? I think it's important to talk about both, because I think there's lessons to be learned on both sides. Aaron, do you want to talk a little bit about parents from your standpoint about how they can help with or hinder school culture?
So I would say in my situation, in our school situation, with you know, we're spanning a large area. We're a rural school, but span a large geographic location, and we're kind of all in this together. So when I think about parent involvement, like, it takes us all, whether that's getting kids to and fro or staying connected about the happenings at school because of that geography. And of course, I could say the traditional ways parents are involved, whether that's a support, you know, an elementary, a parent group that, you know, that we have, or the boosters for music or the boosters for athletics. And especially in a time and funding cuts, where those become ever so important, where people are willing to volunteer and to give up their time. But something I haven't mastered yet, but this is a goal, to involve parents in learning in a way that they're part of the learning process. So we've seen this take the shape of, you know, a STEM night, for example, where parents could come in and be part with their kids and take part in that kind of activity, or literacy nights or math nights. But I'm really interested in how we can involve parents, not just what can they do for us, but what can we do for them? And having it be reciprocal, this relationship where we are better together, truly. And I think that can happen a lot of different ways. When I was a classroom teacher, and I was actually a teacher in the district that I'm an instructional leader now, I invited parents to offer their learning that they had or their expertise, if it made sense with our units. I always had this open open door for that to happen. And then I also had my assessments as gifts. So parents would receive something, a gift of some kind, because of their students' learning. So I was trying to reciprocate that relationship. I wasn't always asking a parent for something. I was also giving a parent something. But truly, we have to be we have to share the story, but we don't have to be the only one sharing the story. And so something I found fascinating that, I love that our school does is that we have parents that help with our Facebook page. So
nice.
Some of the different events. Yeah. And they, take photos. So they're getting all ages of kids and different, at different events, and they help feed into that story. And I think that's something too, I would like to consider expanding that. How might we, go beyond just, guest photographers on, Facebook or guest posts. So that is something that, I want to work on and think on. But I think it's essential to school culture, because if we think about our story, they're included in our story.
You're exactly right. And there's schools used to be the center of communities. I mean, I talk about a lot now with school communications and helping school districts communicate better with their constituents. And I talk about, westward expansion and how when folks moved from east to west and they settled in new places, the first building they built was a school, because it was a community building for people to gather. It was a place for kids to learn. It was a church, or it was a building. That was the first thing. It used to be the center of the community. And we've kind of we moved away from that. And a lot of schools struggle with parent involvement. And a lot of it's not due because they're not trying. A lot of it is due to the apprehension that a lot of parents have to school because of the way that they were treated in school. And so that that carries over. And so showing them that we're just not going to take from you. We're not just here to send you a piece of paper home to sign, to send us money for the field trip. We want to do something back for you. We're as just as much a part of this community as you're a part of our community. What can we do to give back to you? Derek, I know you all are doing some of that. I know you all are doing a lot of that. Talk to us a little bit about how parents, where you are helping or hindering school culture. I'm sure they're helping more than hindering.
I'm the worst webinar, one of the worst webinar participants ever, because this feed has me going good. There's some great posts going on over there. So guys, keep those comments coming. So parents is one of the things here. When I think in terms of our stakeholders and the shifts that we're making with them, parents is one of our areas, just like you, is we've been lacking in that area. We have not done a great job of, number one, showing parents what learning looks like today. Now, we're one-to-one, so I'm not even getting into the one-to-one conversation, but just showing them what learning looks like today. Some of our biggest talking points, coaching points with our teachers is getting them is deprogramming their K-12 experience. And we see these teachers every day. Our parents, we're lucky to see 10 times a year for an hour at a time kind of thing. So we have to bring some relevancy to our parents. We have to expose them to what learning and teaching looks like today, so that they can be more ingratiated with it. If we don't make those, and I say we, this is just ongoing good work for us, but for a lot of schools, parents are, I think community in general is hesitant about the school because of past experiences or whatnot, whatever. But unless we make something relevant in terms of bridging their educational experience with what the educational experience is now, then there's going to always be that disconnect. Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be that rift. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it gets, and the more we do with education, like create maker spaces, bringing in maker spaces, mm-hmm. bringing in BYOD by itself is enough to blow parents' minds. People don't get it. Think about it. We make BYOD part of our culture, right? And that's ongoing talks with teachers at different or varying levels of acceptance of BYOD. But again, we talk to those teachers every day. Parents, we don't. Mm-hmm. So your acceptance, your promotion of it, and somebody was mentioning that they in the chat that they have problems with community, sometimes giving bad reviews of the school. That's one of the reasons why that happened. Why would you allow cell phones in the school building? And we have a good talk for them. We can even show them the benefits when they walk through the school building, our great learning environments. But unless we make those deliberate efforts, and they have to be some impactful, sweet, deliberate efforts, they won't see it. And the parents' jobs, and this is the piece with the school culture that I think we miss out on regularly. We all have our roles with school culture. A parent's jobs with school culture is promoting that school culture in the community. Mm-hmm. And if we don't bring them on board, if we don't let them know, then man, when they're standing in line at the grocery store and somebody says this about school building, they can make a break mm-hmm. that person's perception of the school. So it has to happen regularly. It has to happen and it has to be impactful. And they have to hear a positive message, not please join PTA and give us blah, blah, yeah. blah. It can't be just gimme. It's, mm-hmm. hey, you know, it's awesome here. Come learn, come see, come experience what your child is experiencing. See what our teachers are building here. Be a part of it for a day. School is different now. So make it different and make it better.
That's why I love, like, my daughter's in second grade, and her school does the Watchdogs program, Dads of Great Students. And so, you know, I try really hard, but, you know, being on the road 95% of the year makes it a challenge. But that, something like that, you know, not only are kids seeing, you know, positive, you know, male role models, but now that it's an opportunity for all of us as dads or as adult or any adult to go in and volunteer and give back and be a part of that. But Derek, I love what you said about like the cell phones and BYOD, because that was something I faced when I did BYOD was, you know, you always get this argument, and this is just a conversation greater of technology too. When we put Promethean boards in the classroom or we give every kid a computer, mm-hmm. parents, you know, there's some apprehension there. Well, I didn't learn that way. Why does my kid need to learn that way? And so what we all have to do better is building out that culture of understanding. I think of, you know, that's you, the way you learned was awesome for the time that you were living in and that you were growing up in, for the jobs that you were being prepared for. Right. Let's fast forward to today. Right. Think about the, you know, the jobs, like where I live, cigarettes are king, man. The Winston and Salem that's where those names of those cigarettes came from, is my hometown. The RJ Reynolds Corporation is in my backyard. Kids here 30 years ago could graduate from high school and walk to the Reynolds factory and walk in and get a really, really high paying job with full benefits and work there for 30 years. They can't do that anymore. That's not the culture, that's not the society, the kind of society we live in. And so we're preparing kids for a completely different world than what our parents were prepared for. But we don't do a good job of explaining that. And so that causes a rift, that causes that disconnect. And so now you do have that parent out and say, well, I don't know what the heck they're doing at that school, but those kids, they're on the Twitters all the time, you know? And so it's all part of building that culture of, I think it comes back to a culture of understanding of mm-hmm. that. What we're trying to do is create an environment for your kid so that no matter what that kid decides to do with their life, no matter what they're trying to do, we're going to help them succeed. And the way that we do that is together. we're just not going to take from you, but we're going to give back to you too, so you can help support that at home too. Because I think a lot of it is fear. It's just like how we talk with administrators and technology. A lot of it's fear. The parents don't know. And so the more that we can give back for that, the more we can help positive school culture. And I think that leads us kind of to our next question, because this is the tech and leadership, the community. And so I think there's a lot of technology that's available out there. So we'll start with Derek. So what kind of tools do you see that are being used for schools to help promote positive school culture? Maybe not necessarily, and maybe it could be between school and parents, but maybe even internally as well. Maybe there are some tools that you're using or that you've seen used to help promote that culture.
Okay. So I use, my team. But first of all, don't jump into a tool without an understanding or without a game plan for what you want to accomplish. So don't just make it about a tool. What do you want to accomplish? Start there. For us, we want people to see the new and different things that are going on in the school building so that it doesn't, so that they can develop an understanding and an appreciation for it. So we use Twitter. All three of us, my instructional leadership team all have Twitter accounts, and we all share the school's Twitter account as well. So and I do this from my account on the regular. Part of it is used for my PLN connecting and building, but the other part, I make a point to take a picture every day of something great going on in our school, period. At least one picture. Most days it's just picture after picture, great kids smiling, or they're just blowing us away with some of the things that they're creating. Right now we're in the middle of a compassion project. Every student has to create an endeavor where they change a life, change a community, change the world. And our kids, they're blowing things out the water. So it's a picture, tweet, picture, tweet, picture, tweet. We share our Facebook account. Now, surprisingly, we don't, you know, we do our metrics every now and then. We don't have a lot of traction on our Facebook account, and the world is on Facebook. That blows me away. But anyway, I make a point to put our announcements and you know, just other celebrations up there as well. We have Remind groups. Remind is a great tool. Remind is quick. It's simple. It's in and out. It's easy sign up for parents. So I'm going to talk about Remind in and outside of school. So we have a pretty decent Remind group for our parents, and that's great on the spot from right here, updating parents about what's going on, sports, new initiatives, reminders, remember to do that. But also internally. So I know the staff knows that I'm on Twitter, but not all my staff members are on Twitter. And not all of them check the Facebook, but they are all on Remind. They all get those Remind updates. So that is where I share best practices that I want replicated. So if you want, a typical Remind post is, if you want to see a great greeting for a classroom, visit this teacher during your planning period and have a conversation about this. That is how you change a culture. I think that's how you change the culture. You provide a good model. It's an in-house expert. They can see the picture. They can see the evidence, and this gives them something that they can go to. The other digital tool that we use for internal change is we have a blog. It's published worldwide, but you know it's mainly for internal use. We have Bulldog News. We have a news section, and we have an inspiration section. That inspiration section talks about things that we are going towards, like makerspaces or PBLs. We're doing standards-based PBLs next year. And then, you know, we just do reminders and all that kind of stuff. So they, from the administrative team, they hear a consistent, regular message. Teachers, parents, students, they see us celebrating. They see good, and it took intentional work to make people understand we're not going to get into don't do this and no business, you know. keep it positive. And that's okay to keep it positive, because those dividends will pay off.
But it was easy, right? It only took like a day for everybody to get on board and everything, right?
Yeah. We're waiting for that day to happen.
It's ongoing, right? It's a continuous process.
It's on, but you know, the it's fortunate when you can work, when you know you're working in a great school and you're seeing it happen. And that's one reason why I never complain. You can see the incremental change happening. It is incremental, but it is happening.
Aaron, what about you? What tools do you use, or what tools do you see being used? Even if they're the same, maybe they're being used differently.
Well, Twitter, of course, as a way to celebrate and share what's happening, but also a way to contribute. As we think about, the culture working on being collaborative and sharing, that involves sharing in that space. I would also say, blogging, and the elementaries really embrace Seesaw. And so our elementary kiddos will post their reflections on learning or share learning. And, you know, it's interesting that the parents that are following there during World Read Aloud Day, I wasn't able to get to one of the classrooms to read to them. So I read them a book on and recorded it and put it on Seesaw so they could still see me reading to them. And the first people to comment were actually parents of kids in the class.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting to see how connected they were to what their kids were doing, because they had that notification on their device and they were able to see what was happening. So I think that's a great tool. Remind is used throughout the school, whether that's with athletics or that's classroom, and it's used in a variety of ways. Similar to what you shared. Facebook, of course, is another way. And I think about all the places people are and how we can streamline and keep the same message in all those avenues. So people, it might be a repeat, but so people are able to, get that information. And you spoke, I think, before we started about a recipe on if that, then this, mm-hmm. Using something like that. So, when your post is live on your blog, it's also tweeted and posted here and goes there. Or same with Instagram. I mean, there's teachers that use Instagram with their classes and share, what's happening in their rooms. One that is new, this was new this year, our publications teacher created a Snapchat filter.
Yes.
Our new
school. Awesome.
Yeah. Isn't that great? And so, thinking about where kids are as well. And I'm finding that even kids that were on Twitter or maybe Facebook, they converse on Snapchat as if it were a text message. I mean, if that's all it was, it's interesting how the movement of places. And so there's been a lot of different, channels and uses of channels. But Derek, I don't know that I enlightened anyone with anything different than what you said, but those would be all the places that people share to promote that positive school culture. And, earlier on, people were talking about in the chat thread, the worry, what happens when, people say bad stuff? Well, they do. I mean, I wish I had like a mic drop profound response, but they do. That happens. That's real.
That is the mic drop profound response, right?
Yup. People say bad things. And the difference is we maybe have an awareness we didn't have before. Mm-hmm. But my grandma, bless her heart, said to me, live in such a way that when someone says something bad, no one believes them. Mm-hmm. So I think I transfer that to how we are using, the tools we're using to promote a positive culture. If we continually share the good and we're transparent about that growth, it isn't always that shining diamond ring. At one point, it was a lump of coal. We need to make sure that we are also honest in our growth and in that process, because there's power in that. But we continue to share, then we've shared our story. And so when that does creep up or happen,
I mean, the single greatest tool that all of us carry is a mobile device. And there's, I mean, not to like shamelessly promote what's on my blog, but I do have a blog post about that. But no, seriously, I mean, there's the for too long, we've allowed in education others to tell our story. And we allow outside forces to tell our story. And that's where a lot of this feeling that it was okay to badmouth what's happening in the school and to say things that are negative about the school comes from, because the school wasn't ever going to do anything about that. They were never going to say anything about that. And, you know, what your grandma said was exactly right. Live in such a way that, you know, that whenever somebody says something bad, nobody believes them. That's the thing, is if we're doing what you're doing, if we're doing what Derek's doing, we're continuously sharing and we're putting that information out there and we're showing, look at the amazing things that are happening in this building. Look at the incredible things that these kids are doing. It's going to be really hard for anybody to say, well, that school just sucks and is terrible. Because now, I mean, I deal with this all the time when I teach districts how to use Facebook, and that's the inevitable question they get. What do we do when somebody says something negative? You say, yep, somebody says something negative. Mm-hmm. And what you create is a space where people have shared so many wonderful things that the community comes to your defense. And I think that all feeds back into culture too. I mean, and we've talked a lot about, you know, some of these technology tools and how they can help, but how do you balance that? So, you know, where's the balance in that? Is there a point at which that technology just gets in the way of helping to build school culture? Is it just something that just seamlessly happens and, you know, it's used when appropriate? I know I'm kind of like leading your question here, but is there a point at which, you know, you just have to say, you know what, that we don't need technology for this. We just need to go good old fashioned analog. Erin, we'll start with you.
Well, I think that's an important lesson that we model, because yes, there are times when a different modality is necessary to communicate a message. There is something amazing about a handwritten thank you note. There's just something beautiful about that. And when we think about building that positive school culture, and we want to reach people where they are, we have to realize where they are. And as much as I'd love to say that the entire staff is tweeting every day a picture about what went right and using that hashtag, and no, it isn't. You know, I'm able to lift that up because I'm there. But I think that we have to consider, I mean, it's like the rhetorical triangle, right? Like, what is our purpose? What is the message that we want to deliver, and who are we delivering it to? And all of that combined would dictate how. So there just might be time to pick up a phone, or there just might be time to get out a pen and, you know, play Jimmy Fallon and write a lovely note that's sincere, where we can practice a spirit of gratitude, whether that's to a teacher, to a student, to a parent, to a community member. So I think that's really important. And we talk about story. You know, it's one thing to read a story, but it's another thing to see the story. And it's another thing to hear the story. So we need to think about how we are sharing as well. And it's also who's sharing that story. Like, I could, for example, send the school board a link to a blog post about students who are learning math through number talks. However, it would be much more powerful if those kiddos went and shared that number talk with the school board and invited them to take part. So I think that's the balance, that we really just need to model that, but also be transparent and, you know, like, our think aloud about why we're doing what we're doing, because we are modeling that for students and for one another, when to use what channel and what to say where.
Derek, what do you think?
I think that our chat feed is awesome. you guys on the side are killing it. I love it. So, first of all, nothing is more important in the school building. Nothing is the most important work that we do. The only work that we do is building relationships. That's just it. It's just building relationships. Nothing happens unless good relationships are fostered, either a good professional relationship or a professional / personal relationship. But unless a good relationship is fostered, nothing happens. We don't receive feedback, written or electronic. Well, we don't grow. We won't be willing to try new things. We won't feel safe. That relationship is the most important thing. So I said all that to say, the relationship comes first. then we can focus on a tool. Then we can focus on a tool. Then we can decide, Steven needs a hug every day. So Steven might need a post-it note.
He does.
Aaron is cool. You know, Aaron gets it. Aaron is cool. She's in her own headspace. We can make Aaron cool with text messages and remind messages, that kind of thing. We have to differentiate our support. Mm-hmm. Somebody said this earlier in the chat. Adults are just as different as kids. Some kids, we're one-to-one schools. Most of our kids love the iPad. There are some that don't like the iPad, and mm-hmm. that's cool. Same for adults. I will take a great text message and that'll make my day. Hell, I might take a screenshot, print it out and put it on the wall. It's all good. I don't need it to be in print, but somebody else might. We have to value that relationship. So it starts with that conversation. It starts with that willingness to have that conversation and to make sure that we're growing and nurturing and taking care of people. The rest, feedback with technology or without technology, feedback face-to-face or we use a Google form. How that feedback is received is based on that relationship. I think that's a huge point that we have right there. Mm-hmm. And we often miss that point. I want to say this from the last point that we said earlier about what happens when people, and I know it's off topic, but what happens when people make negative comments on social media, on Facebook, I hate this, blah, 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 blah. What do we do? Do we shut down the bathroom when somebody draws something on the wall? Of course not. Do we burn all the books when somebody drew a penis in the corner? Of course not. Of course not. The world that we erase it, find who did it, and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a different way to keep it moving. The technology is an enhancer, but it can be a distractor if mm-hmm. we don't have that vision and that focus first. Focus one, relationships. Then the tools for how to give feedback. How to connect with people, how to grow people. Then we have to bring in the tools.
And listen, I had an ulterior motive for asking both of you all this because I knew both of you were going to say relationships, and that's exactly what both of you all said. Because a lot of people, and there's a lot of, if you look at school culture, a lot of the, especially blog posts that come up are, hey, here's some tech tools to help build school culture. And so there's this feeling out there by reading some of this that, oh, all I have to do is use Remind in my classroom. All I have to do is start writing a blog. Oh, all I have to do is do this. And instantly school culture is just going to go, is just going to be amazing. But right. what both of you said was so hugely important. It's about relationships. If you don't have those relationships in place, then the technology doesn't matter. Just like in the classroom, if you don't have you don't know what you're teaching, if you don't know what the content is, then the technology doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. So it's those relationships that are going to do that. So we've got just a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that we get to this last question. So everybody who's been participating in the chat, there's been some really incredible discussion. So I encourage those of you who have kind of been going back and forth, take the time to go back and actually read the chat because there's some really cool things that are in there. But I'm going to start with Aaron and we'll finish up with Derek. The advice really quickly. So like 90 seconds, 2 minutes, what advice would you give to leaders who want to help build school culture? What is the one thing that they could start doing? Tomorrow's Friday. Maybe Friday's a good day to start. Maybe Monday's a good start. What is something that they can do now? What advice would you give them?
Practice a spirit of gratitude. Then start conversation with the teachers they serve and ask, what could I do to make you feel excited to come to work every day?
Simple. I love it. Derek.
Aaron is so much smarter than me because my
I know I never would have come up with that so elegantly.
All right, we're gonna start it. Okay, no. dive into your PLN and honestly look at who's doing good stuff with building culture and connect and keep that thirst for knowledge growing. Understand that your definition and depth of knowledge with culture is insufficient. Wherever you are, just understand that it's not enough and keep growing it. When you have mastered culture, you have really fooled yourself. Make it about conversations. Make it about relationships. You can lead anybody down an arduous path if your arm is around their shoulder. So make it about relationship building. Make it about conversations. And always make all your decisions, have all your conversations with your students in mind. How do we want our students to look? That should frame every conversation that we have.
That's why we do what we do. It's all about those kids and making sure that every kid everywhere has the best experience possible in school. So listen, this was, I don't know, somebody just said this was the best webinar they've ever attended on EdWeb. I'm not going to take credit for that. I will take credit for bringing the two most awesome people to the most awesome ever webinar. I will take credit for that. Honestly, guys, thank you so much. I know I'm gonna run out to Target because I have to go get some notes so I can handwrite some notes for you all.
Yeah.
For the next time that I see you. So there you've got Aaron's Twitter information. You've got Derek's there. I know they've been putting it in the chat there. Thank you both so much for coming and hanging out with us. It looks like both of you all are still in school while I sit and lounge here in my glorious office, being looked upon by Darth Vader up there in the corner. But thank you so much for giving us the time today and talking to us about school culture.
We hope you enjoyed this EdWeb podcast. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording and take the corresponding CE quiz. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.